welcome everyone to episode 126 of the Drunk Friend Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis, joined by Alex. Alex, how you doing?
Okay, how are you, Trav?
I'm hanging in there, bud. It's been a long time. We haven't recorded often because we've been taking turns being sick and having other family emergencies and whatnot. I'm just happy to be here with you, man.
Well, how dare you actually have a life, first of all, and have a life outside of the realm of the Drunk Friend cinematic universe, because there's a lot we need to take on here, especially considering our guest has taken on both, has already taken on the NES catalog and is on their way to taking on the TurboGrafx-16 catalog, and that's Kelsey Paulnick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for coming back. I'm surprised you can still walk after that NES romp. I mean...
there was a lot of power pad. That's true.
You had to be whittled down to a nub after that. And I remember when we talked to you on that episode, we were like, you sounded pretty beaten down. Like, you might not try anything else like that ever again. But here you are almost about to wrap up the TurboGrafx-16. You crazy guy.
Yeah.
I probably was a little beaten down at that time. Like, that was like during like peak COVID lockdown, and I had a friend just pass away, and I just finished all those games. Like, there was a lot when we talked last time. So my mental health's a little better these days.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm sure the quality of the TurboGrafx-16 games helps that. But that's what we want to know. We want to, you know, given that you have sort of an authority at this point on the NES library, how's the TurboGrafx-16 comparing? I know it's a smaller library, but quality-wise, what's the biggest takeaways?
So I actually thought, I've always been under the impression that most of the library is just really good quality, and I feel like that might have been a bad judgment on my end. they look a lot prettier, but sometimes there's a bad game under the prettiness. Like, I played a Battle Royale recently, and it looks great. But it feels like you're playing something like tag team wrestling. Like, it doesn't play any better than a game like that. It just looks a lot better.
I'm curious to know, Kelsey, like, when it comes to the TurboGrafx, like, from your personal perspective, like, what kind of games do you enjoy playing? Like, what do you look forward to? Like, when you lay out this whole thing, like, what kinds of games are you looking forward to completing? By the way, I should mention, like, you're already like over 90% of the way.
I have 10 games left to go.
You have 10 games left. I see that. You're 84 out of 94. But, like, what kind of games do you, like, bookmark, so to speak?
I like a lot of different genres. I don't stick to one. So, like, when I see, like, a puzzle game, sometimes I get excited for things like Tricky Kick. I thought that was really good. Shoot 'em ups, I love. They're really varied in quality, so I'm never sure if I'm getting a good one or bad one, but when I get a good one, you know, it feels really good. I love role-playing games. There's not a ton of them on the TurboGrafx, but they have a very different flavor to them than most other consoles I played, so that was really interesting to explore. Platformers are always fun when they're done right, and there's a few that are really good on there. I've got a soft spot for sports compilations. So they had World Sports Competition, which was really cool. Pretty much, I just like to see especially with the TurboGrafx, like, it does everything differently than Nintendo did or Sega did. So it's kind of neat to play something like, Dungeon Explorer or, Double Dungeons, or Military Madness. 'Cause they're normally role-playing games or strategy games are really slow, convoluted games to start with until you kind of learn the language of them. But the TurboGrafx ones are so fast and punchy, and like, you get it right away, which is really cool for those kind of genres.
That is really cool. Yeah. You mentioned Military Madness, and that's a strategy game, and I think that's one of the best games on TurboGrafx, and your playthrough of it is like something like 10 hours long. Like, if you were to tell somebody about that game, if you were to recommend it, what would you say?
They cut out all the fluff. Like, I remember when I was playing Conflict on the NES, I could see this, like, great game underneath all these, like, super slow menus and dialogue, and it was just making the fun parts of the game take forever to get to. And Military Madness is like what I imagined Conflict could be if they just cut out all the extra stuff. So you just get to have fun right away. You kind of understand what all of the units do right away. It's really cool to race the computer to the factories because you get additional units, whoever gets there first. So there's like this mad dash every time you start a new map where you're just like trying to beat the computer to the factory so that you can unload them before the computer player gets there.
And it's all turn-based, right? So you have to like spend a turn moving and then...
It is. You get to move all your units in one turn, and then the computer gets a turn, they move all their units, and then it just goes back and forth that way.
That's funny. So one criticism I would say of the TurboGrafx-16 library is that it's very much like, I guess the meme the kids use these days is that it's like, well, we already have Zelda, you know, the kid says, I want Zelda. We already have Zelda at home, and Zelda at home is actually Newtopia.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want Mega Man. We have Mega Man at home. Mega Man at home is actually Shockman. Like, do the signature games on TG16 to you feel like meager responses, or do they stand up on their own, or what is your impression of games like Shockman and Newtopia?
No, I think that's actually pretty accurate because they do try to be those things and they're not as good as them. Especially Shockman, that game is horrendous. But Newtopia, like the first one, you can see it trying to do Zelda. And then the second one, though, they're like, hey, we'll just do what worked good in the first game and we're not going to try and be Zelda. And I loved Newtopia too, because one thing I personally don't love about Zelda is I'm not a big fan of exploring. I like to have a more linear game. So Newtopia 2 is like straight lines to the dungeons. Like, I love it. I don't need to wander around and find hidden stuff and talk to every person in the village. And I can just go and get a cool weapon and go use it.
Right on.
Yeah, sounds awesome. And we've covered this a little bit, so it seems like a lot of, like, if it's a menu-laden game or strategy game, it seems like the TurboGrafx-16, a little bit more preferable to play those games because it's a snappier experience. Are there any other genres that the TurboGrafx-16 is just well ahead of the NES on when it comes to just whether it be snappy or flashy or fun?
Sure.
Or is it really just game-dependent?
I just want to correct you really quick. I don't think preferable. I think just different. It's just neat to have a different flavor.
Okay.
Because I do love a good RPG where I'm grinding and leveling up those characters, and I do like deep strategy games like some of the Koei games. It was just really cool to have this twist on them.
Okay.
But let's see, what do they do? Shoot 'em ups are, you know, what the system kind of has a knack for. I'd say some of the best shoot 'em ups on the system are better than the best shoot 'em ups on the NES.
That makes sense. I mean, you got Blazing Lasers. That's
Blazing Lasers.
That might go head to head with what, like Gun Neck maybe.
Yeah, Gunneck's one of my favorites too. Raiden is fantastic. Soldier Blade was amazing. And I think they stand up at least as tall as games like Gunneck, maybe a little more even.
Wow.
Yeah, I would agree. I would personally agree with that because I think the old TG16 has some great, especially vertical shoot 'em ups. Soldier Blade is one of my favorites, but
the soundtrack on Soldier Blade is so good.
Oh, absolutely. And you go to Superstar Soldier, and a lot of those shoot 'em ups, like, I feel like Sega CD is like this too, where it's like an excuse for anybody working on it to like, oh, we need music for this shoot 'em up. Oh, okay, just do some power metal. Do some like super intense, like, you know, just like
you're talking about Lords
like,
of Thunder right now, because I love that.
Yes,
game.
Lords of Thunder, Gates of Thunder, like all those games, like the music in those games is just insane.
There's not a lot of racers on the system, but I really liked the couple that I did run across too, like Victory Run and Final Lap Twin were fantastic.
Final Lap Twin, I've heard a lot about, actually. I've heard that's really good, and I wanted to ask you about that in addition to some of the other games that you've completed on your channel, because some of these games can't be fun to finish, because like Final Lap Twin, for example, your playthrough on that on your channel is listed as over 5 hours long.
Mm.
Like, are you having, like, how much fun, like, what is the fun to work ratio happening in a playthrough like that?
So,
like,
I don't know if you know Final Aptune, but it's actually a role-playing game slash racer.
Yeah.
So, that's why that one's a little longer. Plus, there's three different modes in that one, so I wanted to beat each mode. So, I did the RPG mode, and then there's, like...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's, like, a F1 mode and F3000 mode, I think they called it. So I made sure I did them all because they all have different endings.
So that's like one example. You also put 90 minutes into Hit the Ice. You know, like I'm just glancing at like the videos and the times here, like Champions Forever Boxing at over 4 hours.
That like, one was a drag. Yeah, that one really like, weird game.
What is that like for you? Like what like. Take us through that. Like, when you realize it's going to take forever, like, what's going through your mind right then?
It's kind of like a puzzle. It's like a game like Champions Forever Boxing, where I get in there and then the CPU just destroys me the first game. And it's like, well, how is this even possible? I got to figure something out. So you kind of figure out how to cheese the AI in games like that. And you also just have to figure out how the game works. So in that one, it's very unintuitive because in most fighting games, as you progress through them, you get tired, you get weak, you're not as strong later in the matches. But Champions Forever, you actually get in between matches, you get to like increase some of your stats. So you can just like load all your points into like one type of punch. Like if you want to be really good at uppercuts, really good at jabs or something, you can max it out by like the sixth round or something like that. But you have to stay alive and not let the computer knock you down in like two hits because they hit so hard, so much harder than you. So you got to figure out where's safe. How can I hurt the computer without getting him to punish me at the same time? And then once you figure that out, it's kind of enjoyable just to go through that routine and like just see it through all the way to the end. It, like with a game like 4 or 5 hours, doesn't affect me too much. That's a decent amount of time to spend on something. It's the games that I have to do that in that take like 20 hours where it starts to become a drag after the 10-hour mark. Before 5, yeah, it doesn't really feel like much. I can do that in an afternoon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and like a lot of your, you know, the playthroughs that you post are usually like the playthroughs that are the success.
Yes.
So I'm imagining there's a lot of tape getting destroyed when something doesn't work out, or maybe you get, you know, X amounts through a game and end up losing and have to start over. Does that happen a lot? I mean, you're a pretty skilled gamer at this point. I imagine you do some research going into a game so that you know what you're up against before you sink too much time into it. But, you know, how often are you hitting a wall or getting frustrated or having to, you know, you got 90% through and got a game over? Does that happen a lot?
It does. Yeah, it still happens a lot. I recently played through R-Type, and that game maybe requires more memorization than any other shoot 'em up I've played in my life. You can't react to anything in that game. You have to know where it's coming from before it comes on screen. You have to know what power-ups work good in which areas. You have to know where safe spots are. And it was just brutal. It took like the video, if you look it up, it's like 30 minutes or something like that. But that was like over a week of playing. Like I probably put 30 hours into that game. Not 30 minutes, but yeah, people don't see that because I don't post all the failures. But I don't get frustrated very easily when I play. I'm a very patient person, very persistent person. So when I die, I just try and reflect, like, why did I die? What did I screw up there? What can I do better next time? Can I try a different power up? Did I just forget that guy was coming on screen, or did I know he was coming? And I just try and think about what happened before I reset and try again, so that doesn't happen next time and I can get a little farther. And in games like that, where I know there's a really high skill level, I go in with that mindset, like, I am going to die a ton. It's just try and get a little bit further next time. What did I learn from that? And really, there's the odd time where I'm just like, okay, I need to turn this off and take, you know, walk away for a couple hours or a day, just because I'm at a point where I'm not making progress right now. Mm-hmm. So I just need to reset myself as well.
Yeah, you're like a retro gaming sensei, man.
That was yeah, that's a very mature way of saying, fuck this game. I need to get away from this for like 2 seconds. I hate everything. I'm going to punt my TG-16 right now. And by the way, I should mention to our audience, like, you're at least appears like you're playing this on original hardware, like each of these games.
I do everything on original hardware, CRT. Yeah. Like I don't even have a controller extension. I'm on that really short little cord, like right in front of the TV for TurboGrafx.
Sitting in the floor, crisscross applesauce, neck bent straight up.
Pretty much. Yeah. So some of the long games, I'm getting old enough now where I'm like, oh God, my back. I can't do this for another hour.
Man. I mean, it goes without saying that you're a patient gamer. I think when you've already tackled the NES library, you clearly have a skill and a level of patience that most people don't possess, which is why a lot of people don't or are unable to finish a lot of the games. Sometimes it's not just skill, it's patience.
Or time. Like I have the luxury of having time during the day because I work nights. Not everyone can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really incredible. I mean, I can't imagine many people have done what you've done, even with emulation, et cetera, just to be able to go through all of the games in a pure way. You know, you're not cheating. You're not save stating. You're going through it linearly, A to B, getting the credits.
You're learning each game, basically. Like you're learning. There's 94 games, at least that you have listed as North American releases.
Yeah.
And you're learning every single game, which is pretty cool. I'm sure the people that made these games would really appreciate that. You know what I mean? Like it's like, hey, here's a guy that like actually wants to learn what we did, for better or for worse. Sometimes it's for worse, but
so I actually have a funny story about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I mentioned last time I was working on a book about NES.
Yes.
Still working on that. We've increased the scope and stuff. But to tie it back to what you were talking about, I got to talk to Ken Wobb, who used to work at KID back in the NES days and made most, like, I think, I forget the number off the top of my head, but he did about 20% of the games on the NES that had multiple loops were all from him. So I really wanted to talk to him specifically. And now he's like really high up at Microsoft, and he like oversees teams that like make games. Like he worked for Rare for a long time. Like if you ever played GoldenEye, you know the Club Gun that's named after him.
Oh wow! He's the Club. Okay, yeah, I know who that is now.
He's been around forever, and so I got to talk to him. I got to Skype chat with this guy for my book interview.
What?
And yeah, after we finished the interview, he just wanted to talk about like Nintendo games for like 10 minutes, like off the record. I was so cool because he kept asking me about all the games that he worked on back in the day, which was really, really neat.
Nice. Man, that's
got to feel pretty awesome. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, was he asking, you know, like, what did you finish? What'd you think? Was he asking for opinions?
He's pretty accomplished gamer too. Like he was telling me stories where he used to drive all around Phoenix, Arizona and max out arcade machines that he liked. He's like, they had Robotron, they had Defender. I would make sure I had all the top scores on those. Then I'd drive to the next location that had them, all the top scores. And then he used to make a point of beating all these NES games too. And he mentioned like an old EGM letter. So I actually dug up his like old EGM letter and sent it to him too, that he sent in like the very first issue of EGM. He's like complaining that this game was too easy and they should have made it harder.
Wow.
So he started asking me, he's like, did you beat like Athena? Like that was like the one game I could never beat when I was a kid. Like it just drove me nuts that I didn't finish that one.
Wow. And you did.
I did. Yeah. And it was a pretty big nightmare.
That's a rough game. I tried to review that one for the channel, and I was like, I hate everything about me and the game now. I'm not happy.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
Yeah. Damn, that's great. That's a great story.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm curious, you know, superlative people are always going to ask, like, what's the toughest game or what's the hidden gem? Like, give us some of that stuff. What's a game that snuck up on you? You're like, wow, this is good. No one's talking about it. And what's one that you would warn people against?
One that's good that I never see on like top lists, and I will probably butcher the first word because I've never heard a human being say it out loud. But the like Vigue's Tactical Gladiator, it is essentially a shoot 'em up where you're like a giant mech who takes up like a third of the screen. And normally, when you're a huge hitbox in a shooter, it sucks. It's just not fun to be that big. But they made it really fast, and you actually have some pretty good movement. So I thought that one was really fun. No one really talks about it. I like puzzle games too. So like when no one ever talks about Tricky Kick, I thought that was a pretty fantastic game. There was another puzzle game. What was it called? No, blanking. Might have been Time Ball.
Clax?
Clax was all right, actually. I've never put time into Clax before. So when I did that one, I really had to... took me a long time to wrap my brain around how to make good scores. Because I just kept trying to do three of a kind. I'm like, I'm not getting anywhere with this.
Nice.
But once it clicked, it was really fun.
It's got some level warp tricks, too. I don't know if you utilize those for your playthrough.
I did use those. Yeah, there's one early on where if you make a big X, it like jumps through half the game. So that was, definitely something I took advantage of.
Yeah, and that's good music, too. And just to clarify, you did the licensed NES library where Clax was unlicensed on the NES, but you get it on the TurboGrafx.
Right. Yeah, so I might go do unlicensed at some point. I've got almost the whole collection there, too. I'm only missing like 6 games, I think. So I might start on that. We'll see how I feel.
Nice. Yeah, no promises after another trek through a library. I'm sure it's... I mean, it's a lot of time. And I'm curious, too, and you probably didn't fully answer my last question, but I got a new one that just came to me.
Sure.
These seem to come, the order that you play these in does seem to, it's not sensical to anyone else, but to you, do you have a plan? Are you just kind of trying to do a different genre, kind of keep it fresh? Like, what's your strategy for what you do next?
So with NES, I had a really good plan. Where I would just make fun little challenges for myself every once in a while. I'd be like, hey, I'm going to do games that are licensed for movies. And I'd do like 10 of those in a row. Or I'm going to just do, all the Ultima games. Or I'd make little challenges for myself. But with the TurboGrafx, the library is so small, it felt kind of weird to do that. So the only time I actually did that was in October. I did like all the spooky games. So I did like Night Creatures and Splatterhouse and Silent Debuggers and Ghost Manor and Order of the Griffin. But outside of that, there's a website called Video Games Age, which is kind of the spiritual successor to Nintendo Age since that closed down. And they have all these threads that the whole community does where they're like, hey, can we beat every Game Boy game in a year? Can we beat every Sega Genesis game in a year? So I go on to that thread often and I'm like, what games are nobody playing? And I'll pick those ones to help get the thread to the end kind of thing.
That's how you end up playing stuff like TV sports hockey for 2 hours.
100%, because sports always gets ignored by people, so I often end up with most of the sports games.
I hate that, because tell me what... I love sports games, especially old sports games. Like, what do you like about... like, what are some TG16 sports games that you found to be decent?
I've been super unimpressed with the sports almost across the board on that system. I think they're really, really bad. Like, World Sports Competition, I thought was okay... just because I have that real soft spot for the silly sports compilations. But like World Class Baseball was bad. All the TV sports games were not great. Taking It to the Hoop was a nightmare. That game was so long and there's no sound. Like it's just empty. Even the fighting games, not great.
I gotta play that then.
Hit the Ice was probably the best one. Because that one's almost like an NBA Jam style, like really fast, lots of fights. Yeah. So that one, I'd say Hit the Ice is definitely worth checking out. Super Volleyball, it has one of the weirdest control schemes I've ever run across in a sports game. And I don't think you could functionally play that game without reading the manual first. Because there's nothing intuitive about what's happening behind. You have to like hold buttons down, like multiple buttons together to make... characters either like spike on the second hit or bump it over the net or do a fake spike. You've got to hold all these button combinations and then just let the computer like act them out. So it's not like you're pushing a button to react most of the time. It's very
weird. That's a nightmare. That's so dumb.
The manual to that game though was hilarious because I've got into this habit with TurboGrafx where I'll sit down, I'll turn on the game and just listen to the title screen music while I read the manual before I even play.
Nice.
Which I'm loving that. I think I'm going to do that going forward for everything I can. So I'm reading the manual for that. And it's like, USA is the best team. Pick that team. USSR, almost as good as USA, but not quite. We don't know why we put France in this game. They're terrible at volleyball. The Chinese team only has one good player. Like then they just start bashing every team that's not USA and USSR. It's so funny.
What the heck?
That's bizarre. Funny. I noticed that the manual, or at least some of the details around the World Baseball, because that's like one of the few TurboGrafx sports games that I have played, was also bizarre. I don't know if it was made by the same company, but I couldn't believe that they put the things in the manual that they did. I was like, wow.
I feel like it's like that working designs kind of mentality where it's just some dudes that like this stuff and they're just goofing around while they write the localization for these manuals, because most of them are really weird.
Wow. Well, did you let us know what the toughest stay away from this game is? Did I?
So far, it's probably got to be R-Type. Yeah, like the next closest are also shooters like Raiden and Super Star Soldier, but R-Type is head and shoulders above those, harder. There was one level in Pac-Land, though, that just was crazy.
Pac-Land?
Pac-Land. So that
The Pac-Man platformer?
Yeah. That one, I wanted to do two loops because there's a different ending after the second loop. So when there's multiple loops and they have the same ending, I usually just do the first loop. But if they have different endings, I try and do them all. So on the second loop of Pac-Land, I think it was stage 25. That seems to be stuck in my mind, maybe 27. The game is really generous with, it's got unlimited continues. You start with 5 lives every time you continue. The stages are maybe 20 seconds long if you just run straight across them. And there's checkpoints, like multiple checkpoints. Like in that 20-second stage, there's probably 10 checkpoints. So this should be really, really easy. But you start the stage 25, and you just die immediately because these ghosts come from behind you really fast. So you learn, okay, I got to move immediately. But then as soon as you move forward, like a UFO comes over top of you and just starts dropping bombs like crazy. Like not actually bombs, like ghosts. So you've got things chasing you, and you've got ghosts dropping. So you got to figure out, okay, where can I stand safely for this? And then once you figure those two out, there's guys that come from the right side of the screen that are like bouncing like on a pogo stick. So you've got all three directions you can move just getting assaulted. And there's like, there's nowhere safe for you to be on the screen. And even with all those checkpoints and lives and continues, it took me hours and hours and hours just to do that one stage. It was brutal.
Jeez, man. You know, I'm watching footage of that game. And the sprite animation for that is very unusual. It's like weirdly smooth with his limbs, but like everything else is kind of clunky, you know?
He's like, a looks little like slippery too. Like it doesn't stop on a dime like you need it to when there's that much stuff on the screen. So that's another issue.
Yeah. One thing I noticed was that I was going through some of the videos earlier this week that you posted. And one was for Samurai Ghost. Mm-hmm. And the movement of that game really weirds me out because it reminds me of the QWOP, the QWOP Flash game, where you have to control each limb with your keyboard. And it just, the way that guy moves is like hilariously broken and weird. And it looks broken, but it kind of looks fun. So are there some games that are, I'm just asking, like, are there some games where it's like, I don't know if this is good? Like, are there some games you're kind of torn about that you like, but you know you can't really recommend? Like, what are some of those that are sticking out to you?
There's so many games I like that I would never recommend to most people.
I'd imagine.
Yeah. Samurai Ghost is a good one because I love the localization in that because it's hilarious. Every time you die, I can't remember what the message was, but it was so funny. I think I even posted on Twitter, but I can't remember. But there's like zones where it's like, you're now in the hurting zone. Like that's the name of the level, is the hurting zone. They're so okay. Good. Turrican. Have you guys played Turrican?
Yes.
So it's kind of a mess and it's not very fun at times, but I could see the potential of the game. And I've never played the later games in the series, which I definitely want to try now because it had the worst boss fights I've played in a really long time, but it was really neat to have this big open world to explore in a run and gun. And you almost always got rewarded for like exploring it. You get all these cool power-ups, cool weapons, extra life, that kind of stuff. So there was really cool parts to it and it had this cool kind of visual style, but it just didn't really work yet. So I'm hoping the sequels like fix some of that stuff. It would be cool to check out.
The original Turrican was I think developed for like Commodore 64 or something. One of those overseas platforms that like didn't, you know, wasn't a thing over here. So, and I think that was just like the best they could port that particular. It got ports to everything. It got ports to like friggin' Genesis and everything. Like, I think Game Boy got one, but yeah, Turrican is, yeah, that's disappointing though. I would have liked to have played Turrican on TG16. It sucks that it's just kind of annoying.
It is, yeah.
I'm watching the footage now, and I'm watching the first boss fight, and it's everything is so, like, rigid and just, like, ugh.
None of the bosses are good in that game, yeah.
All over the place, yeah. It just looks annoying.
So, one that I ended up enjoying, and I'd never recommend to anyone, because who would play it, was King of Casino, which is, like, a typical gambling game at first, and it was, like, the goal was to get $10 million. And so I'm like, okay, this is the same as Vegas Stakes or Caesar's Palace. But then I got $10 million and there's credits, but then you get invited to this like championship tournament and you have to play against four other CPUs and they all have $10 million, just like you. And there's 15 casinos on the map. So you have to win more money than them when you leave a casino at more of the 15 than one of the CPUs does. So you can go in and just like outspend them, like spend $10 million, but then you have no dollars left for any of the rest of the casinos. So you have to actually figure out what games you're good at and you can beat them at, and you have to win like five or six of the casinos and hope the CPUs don't win more than five or six. So it was really, really neat kind of post game to it.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Yeah, it has some layers to it for sure. That's neat.
Totally. And Tricky Kick, I just love like that Adventure Lolo style, like, puzzle game, and Tricky Kick was exactly that.
Oh, I didn't realize that's how it played. That sounds awesome. I love totally Lolo games.
Yeah, you just kicking boxes. Instead of boxes, you're like kicking animals and robots, depending on what character you are.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Man, great recommendations.
Thank you.
I was going to ask another thing too, because last time we talked, when we had joined about the NES, we referenced Nintendo Age, the video games age. They have a nice resource there too for games that where the beat criteria is somewhat unclear. And it's sort of, sometimes it's just community agreed upon that like, well, you just, when it loops, you count it, et cetera. Yeah. Is there something like that for the TurboGrafx, or is that something that you're having to contribute to?
So we've got that thread that's like beat all these games, and there's been so many times in it where we don't know. Because there's not a lot of info on playing these games. Like if you search up any of these games, 90% of the information you're going to find is like how rare it is, what the cost is. You find a whole bunch of people saying like, I found this at a garage sale or I had this when I was a kid, but there's very little about actually playing most of these games.
Right. Which is kind of crazy. Cause that's like the whole point, but okay.
Yeah. And even on YouTube, not the whole library has full playthroughs, like world long plays and places that hit like most of the games there's probably 25% of the library that just wasn't fully done on YouTube yet. Or the only version you could find was the PC Engine version, which might have a few small changes to it. So there's been tons of times that we're building in that thread where it's like, hey, does this make sense? Because like Alien Crush is a good example. Most people know that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very common, well thought of. You can't find any strategies for it online, like the best ways to get scores. You can't find any full playthroughs. Is there an ending to it? Turns out there is. If you get 999,000 points, or like just under a billion, the game like has an ending, lasts for all of 5 seconds, but most people don't do that because in Devil's Crush, the sequel, you can actually save your game. It'll give you passwords or do battery backup. So you can get a billion points, but it took me about 15 hours of pinball to do that one.
Oof.
Alien Crush doesn't have saves. You have to do it in one sitting.
Oh no.
Oh man.
And
that's brutal.
The quickest one I've been able to find, like proof of someone doing it, is 33 hours because the scoring's not as high as it is in Devil's Crush.
Well, I'm noticing that Alien Crush is not yet part of your 94. So
nope, I'm still planning around how to tackle that because I'm going to need a few days in a row to kind of sit there.
Yeah, you're going to have to take some time off. You're going to have to block off an entire week of nobody bother me. Get out of my life. I'm playing Alien Crush.
There's no save, so there's the chance I can play it for 20 hours and run out of balls, like just screw up and have to start over.
It reminds me of when my roommate at the time back in the early 2000s, you know, started playing every Final Fantasy all the way through because he had all this time off work.
I've almost done that too. I love those games.
Yeah. And this is back in like 2001. So all he had to get through was through 10.
Yeah.
And he got up to, through like the middle of 8 and just got
so close. Like, oh, 9's like one of the best ones.
No, I know. 9 is what I kept telling him that. And he got bogged down in 8 because he couldn't stand.
That's very fair.
The story and couldn't stand all the nonsense that came with that, but it was really funny. I'm trying to remember, he had some TG16 stuff too. I forget off the top of my head, so I'll just transition to my question for you, Kelsey, is that I'm just starting my journey into TG16. I just started Turbo Drunk last week, where
Ninja Spirit. Thank you. I just watched that today.
Yeah, I think Ninja Spirit's probably the best game. If I had to guess, probably the best game on the system. If you were to recommend me like another game to do a video on, what would that be? I'm sorry to be self-indulgent, audience, but I need help here. Like I could use some recommendations.
Sure. So are you looking for things that aren't obvious?
I mean, I'm just looking for stuff that's good, basically.
Okay. Like, it's good and exclusive.
Yeah, something that, exactly, something that's not anywhere else.
I think you could do a really cool video on Silent Debuggers. That game.
Okay.
Initially, I bounced off it because I didn't understand it. But when I sat down to beat it, it kind of blew my mind how good of a horror game it is and how, like, you know, the newer game Alien Isolation?
Yes.
Like, it's like, yeah, that, yeah, from like 1990. Like, it is so good in how it creates tension to the player. Like, I can't think of another horror game from that era that kind of makes you feel that kind of panic. It was really cool.
It's Data East, and I love Data East. I love everything Data East makes. So I'm going to check this out. I've actually never heard of this.
So. Yeah, you're like in a abandoned spaceship, and like these aliens. There's 6 cores to this ship, and if they all get shut down, you lose. And so there's aliens attacking these cores. You have to go and save while you're also patrolling the outer perimeter of the ship. So if you're in the outer perimeter hunting the aliens and they start attacking the inner, you have to like drop everything and run back as soon as you can. And when they knock out certain cores, they control different parts of the ship. So if you want to reload, maybe they'll knock out the ammo depot. If you want to reload your battery, which is like your health meter, they can knock that out so you can never reload your health. In my playthrough, they knocked out the lights, so I had to play in the dark for the last like 2 floors. It was really neat.
That's quality right there. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I like that. Thanks for the rec. I'm going to definitely...
And do Tricky Kick so I can stop talking about it too.
Tricky Kick. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check both of those out. So there's your 2 hidden gem recommendations, folks. Silent Debuggers, Tricky Kick.
It just popped into my head, the silly game over screen from Samurai Ghost 2. It says, "What a pity you are." And I love it. Every time you die, what a pity you are.
It's so condescending.
Yeah.
God, game. Do you have to rub it in? Like, you have to rub my face in it? Jeez.
That's great.
Yeah. The game feels sorry for me. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That makes me feel so much better in how much of time I've wasted in this game. But yeah. That's funny.
Good stuff. Well, you got 10 left. I know one of them's Alien Crush now, so... You potentially saving that one for last. That's like the Super Bowl.
What are some of the other games that you have left that you're like dreading?
That's the only one I'm dreading. I think Space Harrier will be tough, but I'm not dreading it because I think it'll also be fun. Davis Cup Tennis. Every other tennis game I've played, you can usually figure out how to cheese the AI. So I figure I'll spend an hour or two just learning the hitboxes and how to take advantage of the computer, and then it will just be a matter of time. I've actually got 4 that I'm going to bang off real quick. I know when I get to them, because I've still got all 3 Bonks games and Jack Nicklaus Turbo Golf.
Oh yeah, you haven't done the Bonk stuff. I saw you did Air Zonk, which
I did. Yeah,
I will go, I will die on a hill for that game. That game is so much fun and so stupid. And
it is. And it's got weird power-ups, which are really fun to just explore. Yeah.
Hilarious game. It reminds me of Parodius.
Yeah, totally.
And it's everybody should play Airzonk. It's really good. But yeah, that's a top five TG6. Do you have any other like strong recommendations for the library based on what you've played?
If you like dungeon crawlers, Double Dungeon was a really interesting take on them. So if you love like Wizardry and Bard's Tale and stuff like that, but you're like, I wish this was 20 times faster. Try Double Dungeons, because you will go from level 1 to level 20 in like an hour, and it's just so fast. I can't even like exaggerate how quick that game plays for dungeon crawler. The dungeons start really small and manageable too. So if you just want to do the first like 6, they won't take you long. You'll figure them out. But then the later ones, like they keep expanding and expanding and expanding. The last few stages are just enormous. So if you try and go at them without a map, it will be very, very challenging. You'll get lost constantly. But just try out the first few and see how it feels, because I thought that was really, really interesting.
I should also ask, like, just as a layman, like, how is saving on the TG16? Like, do you save on the console itself?
Mostly good. So if you just have the console, it's only passwords. There's no saves. But if you have a Turbo Booster or a Turbo CD, I'm playing with my Turbo CD attached, so it does saves. You can only save 3 games, so you do have to delete fairly often when you're playing multiple things. But most of the time, it's really, really good. It'll auto-save, or you'll have a really easy save in your pause menu, and then you just reboot it. And because it's not CDs, like, it's super quick. So if you like make a mistake and you want to reload a save, like, you're back in the action immediately. I think the only one that was weird was Yo Bro, because the manual doesn't even mention you can save in that one. But it auto-saves, and it doesn't tell you it auto-saves. And then when you restart the game, it's like, hey, do you want to continue your last game? But it'll only tell you that if you had room. So you have to clear your cache first before you start the game, so that it will have room to autosave on it.
Jeez.
Wow.
It's a little unintuitive, but once you know how it works really good.
Well, I'm just glad somebody else in the world has played Yo Bro, because I played the original Amiga version, and it's delightful. It's just it's
interesting the and weird ways they kill children. It's just fascinating.
It's absurd. It's just one of the most absurd games I've ever played. But the music in that game is like top freaking notch. At least it is on PC for like stuff like Amiga and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's like Beach Boys tunes done pretty good in like MIDI style. And because it's so happy and it's a colorful, bright game, but at the same time it's like zombies eating children and like bees like devouring them and children walking into toxic waste and dying. You'll find like little bones and like bodies, and like you get to watch them get disemboweled. Like, just because it's so happy and everything except for these kids, it's really neat to contrast.
Yeah, so in other words, it's just absolutely delightful for anybody to play through. So yeah, I think that's the best game out there. It's a top five title. Do you have any other thoughts about the library of TG? Like, if you say you haven't tackled the Bonk games yet.
I have played the first one like in the past, just not for this.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, like, I'm sure you've played the Bonk games, but like I was trying to like wrap this question around like the Bonk games, but let's just put it out there. Bonk is the best game on TG16, isn't it? Like the first one.
I don't like Bonk that much, actually. I like your first question you asked me, like Newtopia's like bad Zelda and Shockman's like bad Mega Man. I think Bonk's like bad Mario. Like, it's not that good.
So what are you going against that? Well, what's the best TG16 game then? Like, we got to hold your feet to the fire.
I really, really loved Raiden. I played that game when I was a kid in the arcade and never got anywhere because it's super hard. And sitting down and like learning that game and getting through it was one of my favorite experiences with the system.
Huh.
Soldier Blade 2 like blew my mind because I just didn't know about it. I didn't know how great it was. And it's a lot easier than Raiden. It's a really good like intro level, like shoot 'em up for someone who's starting out. And it was amazing. The Bombermans are solid. Other than the last boss fights in both those games, they're really, really good.
Other than the boss fights, are they just like a big pain in the ass? Like they have a million hit points?
The final bosses in both the Bombermans are not very fun because you can only take one hit, but the boss takes a ton of hits. God. And he's flying all over the screen and he's enormous and there's multiple characters. Like,
It's just work. Okay, gotcha.
Splatterhouse held up.
That's a great
It held up really good. Yeah, like I've always heard it's a wonderful game and I never experienced it until recently. And I get why people like it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, splatting enemies across the wall in the background. That's the best.
Galaga 90, that one also blew me away. Because I have a Galaga arcade machine in my basement. I love Galaga. And this was one of the best versions of it I played. There was like cool adventure. There's multiple paths you can go through. There's different endings. Like it was really neat.
Listen, folks, if you're TG16, curiosity has not been satiated by this episode. I don't know what to tell you.
I was about to say the same thing. Like I was about to ask if you were thinking about. I was going to ask if you had aspirations for another book at some point because you have a wealth of information about it.
You got two books now.
And you're well, there's not a lot of information about the TG16. You might have most of it already more than anybody on earth.
There's not. But who's going to buy that? Like I put all this work into
me?
It.
Well, I mean, so me and Al, you got two.
Me? I'm going to buy the hell out of that.
All right, I'll just inflate the price to make it kind of even out.
Yeah. $120.
$1,000 a book, right?
Yep.
As long as you sign it, that's all that matters.
Yep.
Oh man, incredible stuff. And you know, to the point where you do like to interact with people that are asking about the games. You're not just playing them for your own sake. Or I mean, I guess you are, but to an extent, you do welcome conversation. So
totally.
I've seen you go back and forth with folks on Twitter or in the comment section of the videos, and I've used your videos for a couple reasons. One, I've just seen like, how the hell did Kelsey do this? Because I can't figure out how to beat this part. Or you've often let me use some of the footage from the longer games, something like a Koei game, which I'm not patient enough to sit through for the sake of my channel, just so I can show some different stuff. So I would just recommend folks, if you're interested in anything Kelsey has, whether it's in his head or on his channel, reach out. You're gracious and you're a wealth of knowledge.
I love talking about these games and these systems with anybody, and like any game, like as obscure as they get, there's always one person who grew up with it and loves it and has had no one to talk about for 30 years with that game. So I love finding those people on my YouTube channel and on Twitter. And like you said, especially for TurboGrafx, there's just not a lot of talk about playing them. So it's really, I think, important to have those conversations and get them online so that when people like me later on are searching for them, there's actually a starting point to have a conversation for some of these. And hopefully some of the things they're looking for I've talked about on like Video Games Age or Twitter or YouTube or something, so that they can find some of this information. Cause it's really daunting sometimes when I play a game like I played Falcon recently, which is a flight sim on the TurboGrafx. So first off, people don't typically love flight sims, especially on console, especially on TurboGrafx, which didn't sell nearly as much as an NES or a Sega Genesis. I could find absolutely nothing on that game. So I would love to find the person who grew up with Falcon and wants to chat about that, or Gunboat.
That's a call to arms, folks. If you or a friend have ever played Falcon, please reach out to Kelsey.
You know, sometimes I see stuff like that, just to be devil's advocate, and I see some really terrible games I don't have anything to... what was the game I saw? I think it was probably like something shitty like Frantic Flea. Super Nintendo, but there was some game I saw that like didn't have a guide, didn't have a FAQ, didn't have anything, didn't have any response. It was just a lonely little Super Nintendo game, and it's like, you know what? Good, because this game freaking sucks. and it's kind of life affirming that like this game does not have jack shit on it, and it's just like I feel reaffirmed by the fact that like there's nothing on this game. So
I refuse to think like that about a game unless I've seen it through to the end.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Because sometimes there's just one cool thing in there that makes the whole experience worthwhile. And sometimes it's tucked away right near the end, or you just really have to understand a game that is hard to understand to like get there. But like what you said about Game Facts, like going on there and like there just being nothing, that's 70% of the TurboGrafx library. I go on there and there's nothing, and you go to the message board and it's just some idiot saying, "I claim this board," and there's like no actual content there.
You go to speedrun.com and it's just like some guy, like one guy there that's just like, "Yeah, beat this game in like 20 minutes. Here's my video from like 2006.
Hey, I mean, if they've got a video up, that's something. I love that. Yeah, I've used people's like weird grainy videos from 20 years ago once in a while when I'm trying to figure something out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Listen, the world moves fast. It seems like as soon as you beat a game, it's lost to time. No one to talk to about it, no credit, no one to even appreciate it on Twitter. Well, over on the Polykill podcast, Trav and I aim to remedy all that by talking about the games we're playing, the games we're beating, and the games you are beating. So please head on over to polymedianetwork.com, check out Polykill, and maybe you'll be the next Polykiller.
What do you say we move on to some emails?
Emails. All right. Do you want me to read this? Or are you going to read this first one here? It's a response from Chad.
Yeah, go take it away. I think it's more to you anyway.
All right. We got Octopath Traveler 2 from Chad.
Ooh, that's a good one.
This is one of our guys who has emailed us repeatedly, mostly about Rich Gannon. But this time he emails us about Octopath Traveler 2. Chad, I need to finish Chained Echoes before I get into Octopath Traveler 2, but I appreciate your enthusiasm here.
That me plus one to that enthusiasm. That game is amazing, and one of my, like, if I had like 10 games that I could only ever play again, that would probably make my top 10. Like, it's so good.
Which one? Octopath Traveler 2? Or
Yeah. Octopath 2. It's maybe the best JRPG I've ever played, like especially in the last 20 years. Like, it's amazing.
Well, Whoa. Shit, that gives me no reason to be snarky about it then.
Oh, you can still be snarky. That's fine.
No, I can't. Not anymore. Chad goes on to say, to answer your question, yes, the stories do interact with each other. There are even side stories where two of the team have their own side stories. It all accumulates into an ending that ties it up nicely. During the individual stories, they added banter to open up others talking about their story. It's a must play, in my opinion. Chad, aka Go Hobo Go. Yeah. I have Chained Echoes as like my queued up next long, boring JRPG to play. I guess I have to play Octopath 2 now. Cause after Chained Echoes, I was just like, all right, well, we'll see. But now it feels like my backlog just got a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah. It's worth adding to your backlog or like bumping it up a spot or two. It's amazing. Soundtrack, the story, like you said, they interact a lot more than the first game.
That's all I wanted. That's seriously, I love like the combat. I love the structure, the way it's fit to, I really liked the combat in the first one. It's just like,
yeah, it's good.
I didn't really care about anything anybody was doing. I just wanted somebody
That, what blew me away about 2 was how much I cared about almost every NPC in that game. They all have like stories as well. And the really prominent ones, after you beat the game, all the prominent NPCs have post-game quests that are unreal. They're just so good.
Nice. So it's like Mario World, where it's like the enemies, NPCs, like all introduce themselves at the end. But maybe not.
With the cast roll, yeah.
That's a great endorsement, though. I'm happy to hear that, for sure.
So cool. Good, yeah.
All right, our next email here from Blake. He says, "Let's get nuts." And let's. Uh-oh. Yeah. He says, "Hey, drug friends, I think Blake was on one here. He goes, it's 2024. I plan to get really weird with it. Let's start by getting your take on some of these weird questions. Number one, which animal that we don't normally eat would you like to try? And how would you like it prepared? For me, I would love a penguin with teriyaki sauce. I don't know where to go with this.
I do.
Yeah, well, please take it away. What do you got?
Dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. Okay. How would you like it prepared?
I don't know, like, just like how any other meat is prepared, like just like fry it in a pan for a little while, throw some, maybe put in like a vegetable stir fry.
Okay.
With some noodles or maybe with something else. I don't know.
Specific dinosaur? You got one in mind?
No, I don't, because otherwise a certain Dylan will come after me if I mention dinosaurs and I'm not specific enough about it. Oh, gosh.
That's true. He would.
He would absolutely elbow smash me to hell like Macho Man Savage. But no, my answer is always going to be to this question is going to be dinosaur. Like, okay. I just want dinosaur. I would love to be able to eat dinosaur.
I think his first issue would probably be like, you refer to a dinosaur as an animal. That's probably a no-go in the dinosaur fandom.
Come on. Why wouldn't it be? What is it, a lizard, a bird?
I don't know. You'll have to talk to the dinosaur people. I don't interact with them. I don't know. I don't know what the problems are. Kelsey, you got a weird animal you'd eat?
I don't know. I'm not that adventurous with my meats. Maybe... Like, I've eaten a bunch of wild game up here. Like, I live in Canada. I don't know if I mentioned that. So I've eaten, like, bear and moose and elk and stuff like that. Maybe a beaver. I've never eaten a beaver, and they look so plump and round and fat when you actually see one. However big you think they are, they're, like, twice that size. They're enormous.
They really are. If you see beavers in person, they are, like, huge ass,
fat,
like,
little guys,
fucking
yeah.
rodents. Yeah, they are huge... little rodent looking things, like they're kind of scary, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah,
that's a good answer. I like that.
Yeah, I've got a chili simmering right now that when we're done the call I'm excited to go eat, so maybe beaver chili.
there you go. Nice. Yeah,
nice.
Man, good stuff. I'll go with alpaca. Why not? I know it's
Wow, come on.
Wait, it looks like a sheep with an attitude.
It does.
Yeah, it feels like it needs to be taken down a notch. I'm happy to eat it. Show it who's boss.
Wait a second. They're not gonna look like that anymore after you eat them?
I mean, they might they might not. They might see what happened, they might shape up. I don't know. And I'm gonna go with kebab. I'm going to do an alpaca kebab, mainly because it's fun to say.
Oh, okay. Okay. We get to, like, actually, he does say, how would you like it prepared? So there you go.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. How would you like it prepared? A kebab?
Alpaca kebab.
All right. I can get behind that. That's fine.
Also, alpaca kebab, fun to say. Let's be honest.
It is. It's a lot of syllables.
Look good on the sign.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hards. Yeah. It sounds like Klingon.
Like, if you're driving down the Route 66 highway, you're crossing middle America, you haven't seen a gas station in miles, and you see a sign that's like, alpaca kebabs, 2 miles. You're probably swinging in.
Can I at least stop and see what's going on?
I'm actually saying, like, am I hallucinating that, or am I, or what? Okay. But alpaca kebab, it sounds like my first demo album as a solo artist.
Good.
But yeah.
All right, number two, which sports mascot is the sexiest? Blake says a shaved Philly fanatic, .. yum. So Blake, again, on one. Not sure what Blake's going through right now. I hope he's okay.
I think all this proves is that Blake is a freak.
I got to go with Hokie Bird. You know, that's my mascot. I think, you know, I've just been accustomed to them for so long here in Blacksburg, Virginia. We see the mascots all around. I'd probably get down with a hokey bird. You know, I got a soft spot for the big goofy bird.
I don't know if I have one. Like, because the Twins mascot is a bear, and the Vikings mascot is a Viking.
That sounds pretty hot.
I'm not going to eat.
Well, we're not eating it. It's like, which is the sexiest? We've moved on from eating them.
I'm still hungry, though. Like, I'm still thinking about.
Now you got to be thirsty.
Food. Okay. I got to be thirsty. Okay. No, I don't know. Let's go with the old school San Diego Chicken. That's my go-to.
Wait, was that the Chargers or something? The San Diego Chicken?
No, San Diego Padres.
Oh, the Padres, they have a chicken mascot?
They have, he's legendary, the San Diego Chicken.
I gotta look it up.
He's right up there with the Philly Fanatic, San Diego Chicken. Same stratosphere, I guess.
Oh, I can see it. Kind of already looks like he's kind of wearing a little skirt. That's cute. Okay, yeah, I'm down. Kelsey, what do you got? Do you got any mascots?
I don't follow a lot of sports, so I don't know very many mascots. The one that sprang to mind, and maybe it's just because you mentioned dinosaurs earlier, it was the Toronto Raptors. It's got that, like, the short basketball shorts. I could see that working.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he shows a little leg. No, that's a good call. Great call. Keep it in Canada, too. Respect.
Totally. All right.
Number three here. He says between Alex and Trav, but we've invited Kelsey into the party, so Kelsey as well. Who is the first to eat the other in an apocalypse scenario? My money's on Trav getting to dine out. Blake already back to eating things and people now.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it came down to it, I don't know if I'd eat you, man. I don't know.
That's a great quote to, like, advertise this podcast to, like, new listeners. Like, Travis, I don't know if I'd eat you, man.
I don't know. I don't
know.
It would
basically
depend. If we had a pact ahead of time where it was like, look, you know, we're trapped in the snow. If I go first, you can eat me. Then maybe, but I'm not just going to, like, eat you. We got to talk about it first.
No. We have to talk about it. We have to negotiate.
Yeah.
Trap, let me tell you, I'm going to talk like JR the whole time, at least an exaggerated version of JR that I learned from 1998 from watching Raw when I was a kid. So I'm just being like, Trav, not eat me.
You're right. I wouldn't eat a man with that accent. So, and by this point, Kelsey's already ran. He's not going to take part in the cannibalism.
He's done. I'm not sure how to answer that question.
Yeah. Again, this is all Blake's fault. Okay. This is not our problem.
Blake, your problem.
And then number four, which is a question I like. He says, who do you most want to punch in the dick this year? Not ever, just like right now, this year, as of 2024, who do you want to punch in the dick most? And he says, probably my brother for deleting all my save files 25 years ago. He had it coming. I agree with that. If anybody deletes all my save files, I mean, if someone deletes all of Kelsey's save files off his turbo booster, they're getting a dick kick.
I mean, every game I play, I got to delete one. There's only three slots on there.
that's right. You're not kicking yourself, but... I don't know. Alex, who do you want to punch in the dick this year? Who's on your nerves?
Blake's brother.
Blake's brother?
Because he deleted all his save files 25 years ago, and he has it coming. Like, you don't do that. Like, that's one of those things where it's like an unspoken thing when you're renting games. That's one unspoken kind of courtesy, I guess, or like etiquette. Etiquette is probably the right word, where it's like when you rent a game, you don't freaking like erase somebody else's. Like if you rent Chrono Trigger from Blockbuster or from Hollywood Video, you don't erase the person's save file there. You like, there's no way you do that. Like you will be a dick forever if you were like. That's such bad karma.
Was your rule to, like, let's say all the save slots are filled up on a game that you rented and you needed to make room for yourself? You go for the weaker file, right? The newer one.
Yes, exactly. The one that has doesn't have as much.
Isn't that going to be the guy that's still working on the game, though? The other one's finished it. What if that guy wants to rent it again next weekend and finish it off? And he's, it's gone, but the other two are here. What the heck?
That's a good point. Like, you don't know. Maybe the people that have, like, the longer files, they're done. They've wrapped it up. Now they're just legacy files that no one's touching.
Yeah, it's just, like, the odds roll in a certain way, I think, where it's more speculative. I don't know. Like, I feel less guilty deleting a file that's from recently where I need to play the game, you know, like I can remember renting Breath of Fire and deleting, you know, somebody I'd obviously like deleted it and it's like level 99 and whatever at the top. And then there were two other files. One was like level 47 and the next one was like level, I don't know, whatever. And I just kind of like trampled over the the most recent one, and it's like, you know what? This is a recent, just a recent rental. Like, hey, this game is for all of us. I'm sorry. Like,
you kind of want to return it with an apology letter. You're like,
yeah,
to whoever.
Like, I wish I could put a post-it note on this save file where I could just say, like, hey, I'm just trying to, like, get to know this game for the first time. I'm sorry. Sorry.
That's a good, like, they need to put that in philosophy textbooks. Like, that's an actual moral conundrum of to which save file do you remove.
I think there actually is a... Please, anybody listening to this, was there a gaming etiquette thing mailed to people? Because I think there was a gaming etiquette thing that was posted once upon a time.
Was it like in a magazine? Maybe like a Nintendo Power thing.
I'm trying to think. Like, it was like a written statement. I want to say it was like Nintendo Power, maybe like EGM or something like that, but.
I feel like if it was an EGM, it'd just be really snarky, terrible advice.
Yeah. EGM was always so mean to the people that wrote in. even if they said nice things, they're just like, hey, thanks for the nice letter, asshole. You're like, wow. EGM, why are you so hateful?
Okay, probably not EGM, but...
It was just a decree from Miyamoto. He was like, friends, please.
Something like that. Maybe. Yeah, it had to have been a Nintendo type thing, but yeah.
Interesting. Well, I think we've all agreed that we'll just punch Blake's brother in the dick. And he says, keep it classy.
One after another.
Yeah.
I was going to choose myself when I'm 30 hours into Alien Crush to make me rethink my life choices.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Alien Crush is going to do all the punching in your dick that you can stand.
It might.
Oh, man, I can't wait for the update on that. I can't wait to see how it goes. So our last email here is from our good pal, Bill Chicago. He's always full of cheer. And Alex and I were late on emails coming around this. We had to delay some episodes. So, Bill, sorry to be late on this. But he says, Merry Christmas, guys. Have a great holiday. Couldn't forget about you and reminding you both that even one of your fans wouldn't forget to reach out. Have a good one with you and your families, Bill Chicago. Bill, happy Valentine's Day, bud. Hope you and the Mrs. Have a good time.
Yeah, Bill. Happy, what do you call it? Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we'll just get out ahead of it. You know, look at us.
Bill Chicago, one of our most loyal and best listeners through the years.
Best listeners.
Best, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he uses both ears. A lot of people just use one. He's a two-ear guy. Yeah.
My headphones right now only have one side that works. Funny you should say that.
Over there half-assing it. He's on the show.
It's true.
I think it's going to wrap us up. That's going to wrap us up. Kelsey, thanks so much for hanging out and just giving us tons of insight on the TurboGrafx-16. You have given us more than any book or YouTube channel or anything could give us about the TurboGrafx-16. We are now the main source of information.
It's true.
So we thank you.
But let me know what other systems you want to know about, and I'll start playing through the entire library so you can have me back in a year or two.
Yeah, the Amiga, I think, right, well, Alex?
Don't pick a PC console that's got like 10,000 games on it.
No, 3DO. Let's go through 3DO.
So I actually have a very extensive 3DO collection. That's not outside the realm of possibility.
Oh, no, that is a horrible suggestion, then. I'm so sorry.
We can talk about Daedalus Encounter next time.
I am curious.
Be great.
Oh, my God.
I do have, like, a weird kink for the 3DO. Like,
me too.
It's got that weird FM Venus.
God damn it, Trav.
It's weird.
It is weird.
That's why we're all curious. Yeah, yeah. The Road Rash is good.
Road Rash is awesome, actually, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll sign it off here. Kelsey, where can people find you on things?
Oh, I'm on Twitter and YouTube as myself, Kelsey Polnick.
And is Crabmaster still a thing that people can search? You've moved away from that.
I am still under Crabmaster 2000 on Video Games Age, if you want to catch me on there.
Right on. All right. Well, that's another Drunk Friend podcast. Everyone, please check out all of Kelsey's stuff, all of his videos. If you ever need some insight on how to get past the level, he can be your walkthrough for the TurboGrafx-16. You can visit polymedianetwork.com. We've got other shows over there. There's always new episodes of Polykill coming out, Point and Drink Adventure with our pals Pam and Petey. New We Got Goosebumps and Indie Quests all the time, so be sure to check those out.
And you could send an email to the show at drunkfriendpodcast.com, I wish. You can send an email to the show at drunkfriendpodcast@gmail.com. If you're not interested in sending an email, that's not a big deal. Just give us a rating or review on a podcast app of your choice. It's going to help us out big time.
That's right. You can find us all on social media. You can find me at Trav Plays Games. Alex is at SNES Drunk. Kelsey, as stated, at Kelsey Polnick. You can find all that in the show notes.
And the track you hear was composed by our friend Kulor and is called Electric Starbounce. You can find a link to more of his music on the Buzzsprout podcast page. And a shout out to Josh. You know what? Like,
you were so
I
close.
Already screwed up when
you
it came
so
to
you were so close.
When I no, I wasn't.
You were.
Shout! I said the words "shout out" to Josh, and I knew my mouth couldn't like make that leap. So I was just like, "All right, I need to like re-moisturize my mouth before this happens." So it's like, okay, I need to like stop, inhale, and like, okay, here we go. Here we go. All right. All right. Shout out to Josh Leslie.
Mm.
Shout out to Josh Leslie. You know, his name sucks. Shout out to Josh Leslie for our first. I even when I'm like a regular fucking reading guy, he has our thirst quenching logo.
There it is.
So you know what? Go piss up a rope, Josh Leslie. I don't care.
Be sure to catch us all on YouTube. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, have a great rest of your day, Josh.